traffic. All right, welcome everybody. Quick roll call. I see we now have everybody in attendance. And do we have any general announcements at this time?
Don, go ahead.
Next Monday, Tuesday, I'm saying Monday all day, I've lost my track here. The 31st at 6:30 at the farmhouse, we're going to the police department pull out, big event. Lost some little chat piece. Billy, if you want to say anything about it, or you guys are doing fine. Everybody's invited.
We're very excited to be ready to roll out the police department. We certainly want to invite everyone to come out and swear in all the officers tonight. It'll be a really special event. I know you'll want to be there. Only half a boy.
All right, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Chief. Anybody have anything else at this time? All right, moving along, invocation. Danny, would you like to take the honor?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our missions and reflect our values. Keep us strength to hold our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us, and above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Amen. Thank you, Dean. Mr. Winstein, would you lead us, please, in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we have one presentation this evening. Sharon, would you do us the honor and read this proclamation, please?
Serve Day. Whereas the spirit of volunteerism and service to one's community and country is a long-standing American tradition and one of the most admirable examples of working to strengthen the lives of others, and whereas the City of Dunwoody supports initiatives that encourage the ideals of social consciousness and contributing to the betterment of our whole society, and whereas promoting the capability of Dunwoody's people, communities and enterprises to work together through civic participation is vital to the long-term prosperity of this city, and whereas building and encouraging community collaborations and services is an integral part of the City of Dunwoody's future well-being and requires cooperative efforts by the public and private sectors, and whereas since 2006, men and women across the City of Dunwoody, including those from surrounding areas, have taken part in the North Atlanta Church of Christ Serve Day Project in and around the City of Dunwoody, and whereas Saturday, March 14, 2009, marked North Atlanta Church of Christ's fourth annual Serve Day, including 56 designated sites in and around the City of Dunwoody. And whereas, despite the cold, rainy weather, approximately 550 individuals volunteered their time and talents, making a positive difference in the community through their service. And whereas the leadership team of John and Mona Douglas, Ron and Claudine Wood, Dan Foster, Greg Harper, Julie Stanley, David Scobie Sr., Tony Conley, and Don and Susan McLaughlin have worked tirelessly and diligently to ensure that Survey continues to grow. Now, therefore, I, Ken Wright, Mayor of the City of Dunwoody, do hereby commend the North Atlanta Church of Christ, its leadership team, and the volunteers that participated in this year's Survey, thus promoting the well-being of present and future generations. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and seal this 23rd day of March in the year of our Lord, 2009.
Thank you very much. Just someone here, again, just as Sharon Radford, for those of you that don't know, the North Atlanta Church of Christ is in the proclamation, as it stated, to have an annual Serve Day, one of, I'm sure, many on the things you do within your missions for your congregation, but one of them is to get together the congregation and take different mass efforts. And this year, we were blessed to have you gather your strength and Councilman Shortle pulled it together from the city side. So hats off to Councilman Shortle for doing that. But we really appreciate your service, and it means a lot to us. So Ron, if you'd like to accept this proclamation.
Come on, come on. Come on, Susan, buddy.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's what happens when you get too paid out there. Ron, thank you.
One word to all of you. We're proud to be part of this city, and I want to thank Robert, Bill, Denny for they were there all day with us and poured themselves into it right out there with our crews, and it was a great moment. Yeah, we're thrilled for the city, but we're thrilled to be a part of what you do. So thanks.
Thank you, guys. Before
we sit down, Bill Tobin is the one who really spearheaded for the city. Bill, did you want to stand up?
Let's switch the churches.
Not that you're aware of. All right, meeting minutes. Everybody was given the minutes. It was the end of last week. We had a chance to review them. Do we have any comments on the amendments? All right, Ms. Shortle had the approval. Adrian Bonzer had the second. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, approval of the minutes. Meeting in... was your... I'm sorry, can you correct? Was that motion for both minutes or just one?
Yes, it was for both. That's correct.
Okay.
If that was a misunderstanding, we can correct it.
Sharon, did you have that down?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. All right, meeting agenda. Does anybody have any additions or deletions? Yes, Robert?
Is this the appropriate time for us to see if there's anything we want to move into the consent agenda?
Yeah, let me get clarification. Brian, since this is still fairly new, we have not had anything prior that we need to consent. What's the process?
Certainly can at this time, if you so desire.
Okay.
So I'd like to suggest that we move the second read of the chapter 14, which is item K1, that we move the second read of chapter 7, which is item K2, that we move the second read of chapter 28, which is K3, that we move the second read of K4, which is the ordinance to amend the property maintenance code, and that we move ordinance K5, ordinance to adopt chapter 26, establishment of a stormwater utility, and that we move item K6, chapter 16, offenses and violations.
Okay, second on that, any discussion? Move K1 through 6 to the consent agenda.
Yes. Objection to K4.
Okay.
So then it just comes off the consent.
Okay, so we don't have to have a second on that. We can just take off. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Any other questions? Yes. It also has an objection to K5.
Okay, K5. All right, 1, 2, 3, and 6. All right, we will move those. Brian, do I need to get an affirmative? Can I just move them?
You're actually changing the agenda, so you actually give me a vote.
Okay. All right, so we'll say Robert's got the motion to move K1 through 6 to consent. Tom had a second. Any discussion on this? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Point of clarification.
Yes.
K1, 2, 3, 4, 6?
That is correct.
Okay.
All right, moving to the consent agenda, which is K1, 2, 3, and 6.
Actually, we have a public comment, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Thank you, Robert. I guess I'll skip that. All right, public comment, and here are the cards. Kathy Kim?
Kim.
I'm sorry, Kathy Kim. If you could walk up to the podium, please, and...
I'm Kathy King. I live in Winter Road Subdivision. This is my first meeting. I've been elected or nominated to be the president of our home association. Just a little brief background on myself. I lived here 25 years. I moved to Lexington, Kentucky for 5 and then down to Columbus, Georgia, and took care of my parents for 7. And after they passed away, I decided to buy here. A dear friend showed me a house in Winter Rose, and I thought it was just about as gorgeous as any house that I've ever seen. I've lived in some very beautiful ones. This house has upgrades, you know, granite tops and gorgeous landscaping, faux painting, and huge crown molding. Anyway, I bought the house, but I got a bidding war. I offered her more money than the other people were asking. It was such a wonderful house. So, and I think that's real strange because we can't do that today, but I actually paid her more than she asked for the house. It was that desirable. I feel like we live so close into downtown and close to perimeter. We're so much closer than Jones Creek and other outlying areas, but and we do have this great location. Our neighborhood is really well kept. They are very proud homeowners. There's no one in foreclosure. We have one. The yards are fabulous. No one lets them overgrow. There's flowers everywhere. All the houses are painted. And everyone's paying their homeowners' dues. There's not anybody not paying their mortgage. So, you know, I feel like we live in a really great place. But we do have a major problem. That's the crime on the corner. And you know where it is. The apartment complex is on Winters Chapel and Peachtree Industrial. And the reason for that is there's so many tenants, no landlord concern. There's more fire hazards, electrical wiring problems, occupancy, and of course the crime, which has escalated. So that's mainly why I'm most concerned to be president. There's good people that live there. There's also the element that's bad and intimidating and ruined. So we have to have a police force, and I know we have a new one. I'm so proud of that. That can help us. And to help the people as that live in those places as well as the entire community, I think it will benefit this community because I love our place where we live, and we just need your continuing support. And we will help you in any way we can in that community. It's a cleanup project just like Sandy Springs. I'm well aware it's going to take a lot of time, but I think the time and effort will well be invested based on our location in Atlanta, the superb school system, and the credibility of the mortgage-paying homeowners that are in that area. Thank you so much for hearing our concerns. This too can change and improve and be a value to the city.
Thank you, Ms. King. Bob Dallas?
Sir. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for this opportunity. I just want to say thank you for council member Ross for and witness team for having a meeting on Friday with the CAB, Convention and Visitors Bureau. I think that was a good meeting to show what they were capable of doing. And also, I think it illustrated how we can work closely with the business community here, the hoteliers. My understanding is that you'll be moving forward with that tonight. But secondly, as it relates to the ultimate long-term question of formation issues as to whether, as we mentioned last time, whether it should be a 501c6 or whether it should be an authority, I look forward to the public discussion that we will have with that. Certainly there are differences between them. Transparency, they're both the same. But ultimately, it'll come down to some very fundamental issues between what we think can serve best this community for the long run, both in terms of the 3% of the county the city gets to keep off the top, and the 2% which can be used to reinvest to make the 3% grow even more. So with that, I know that I personally and the W Chamber look forward to working with all of you in that public discussion, and hopefully to the benefit of the hoteliers, to the benefit of all of us. And I'll close with this. We all know it's a great asset that we have there. I think all of us have a lot of good ideas as to how we should best capitalize upon it. On a separate note, just to let you guys know, the Planning Commission, I think, is going to be hosting its first official meeting this Thursday. Jennifer's here, as are some of the other planning commissioners. So we look forward to taking care of some formation issues so we can address the business of the city come April in our real meeting.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dallas. Michael Dendinger.
Yes, I'm Michael Benninger, and as a member of the Board of Directors of the Chamber of Commerce, we'd like to reiterate and follow up on Bob's comment about the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We are in agreement and want to reiterate our support of the contract that we will discuss later on the CAB Convention and Visitors Bureau. That contract we looked over, and so far it looks pretty good. We also, concerning formation, we've looked into entity issues with the Convention Bureau. We've already formed a shell with the Secretary of State, or a corporation, nonprofit, and we, in our opinion, that would be a advantageous way to go with a 501c6, running as a private nonprofit group. So I just want to make sure that our position is that we think that we think the contract with the CAB is good, and that we'd like to have further discussion on the entity formation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, that was the last of this public portion of the public comment. And we will go back now to any council comment. I have one comment. I was invited last week to speak in front of Dunwoody Women's Club, so I appreciate them having me blab for a few minutes to their fourth district, which covers a wide area. They met down at McCormick and Schmidt's. And so we're glad to have them and welcome them in Dunwoody. And then the local group here, it's always a pleasure to see those active women in our community. So I appreciate them inviting me to speak. Any other comment that we have missed on the first go-round, Mr. Taylor?
Just in response to his management, Winter Rose, we met with the Homeowner Association, John Hennigan, myself, and Adrian. I've taken the chief and his entire command staff through those areas, and they look forward to patrolling over there. So I guess they're enthusiastic about the activity they're generating over there. So, just want to say thank the Homeowner Association for having us over to about a month and a half ago, and the department's going to go on trip.
Great. Thank you. Yes, Adrian.
There's been some concern in the community, especially in Councilman Shortle and Wittenstein's district, about the gravel that was placed over at the old Shambly School, well, the Shambly Middle School, also known as the Shallifer School. And I just wanted to let the community know that there's a deal that is being struck with Murphy Candler Field, where they will spend at least $5,000 to remove the gravel that was placed in the area where the buses were, they were planning to keep the buses. Murphy Candler Field is going to spend about $5,000 to remove the gravel, to replant the grass, and the agreement is going to be a long-term one to allow their Little League teams to practice over in that field. So we wanted to report that, so the green space is going to be green again.
Absolutely. Good news.
Did you have anything to add? Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment to roll on what Tom said earlier about the police, and I told the chief that she's done a great job with assembling a great group of police officers. I hope you all get to meet them personally. They're out in the community. And as I've told the chief many times, when he rolls down the street at 0001 1 April, he's going to think he's the most popular man in Dunwoody, and he will be. So, chief, we're looking forward to seeing you rolling down the street. I'll be the first guy out there, so you can.
Great. Yeah, chief, make sure the first ticket goes to Councilman Shortle.
It's a red carpet. There's only one here with a white top.
All right, Mr. Ross.
I had the privilege yesterday, together with Adrian Bonzer, to attend a 100-year-old lady's birthday, and it was quite a treat. Ms. Borowski, Alexander Borowski, was born in Ukraine on the 22nd of March in the year 1909. And yesterday, to celebrate her birthday, her 100th birthday, she had her entire family surrounding her, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and it was quite a treat. The celebration started with a Ukraine musical group, which performed instruments that I have never seen before, but it was just incredible. You know, I was brought up in the country, and what they had sounded kind of like a mandolin, but it was much better. And but we celebrated it. I have known Ms. Borowski's daughter for the last 31 years, Dorothy Alexander. She lives in our neighborhood, and it was just something special. And at that, Councilperson Bonzer read a declaration declaring yesterday Alexander Borowski Day, and she was well received. She couldn't see us, but she could hear us. And they did a DVD afterwards, which I found remarkable.
The DVD pictured her from her days, early childhood in Ukraine. And this is where Dorothy Alexander was born as well, in the Ukraine. And she spent her early childhood there. But the thing that amazed me is the music from this lady. She did the background music in this DVD, and I thought it was something that had been recorded years ago. And I asked her family, when was this recorded? And they said 2 weeks ago. The woman is just remarkable, and it was our pleasure to be there.
Thank you guys very much for doing that. Robert, do you have anything for us?
Nope, I'm good.
John,
it looks like Adrian's got another one.
You know, I was going to ask John if he was going to mention that the chief is planning to participate in the first walking bus.
Sure.
Going from the old Ace Hardware to Kingsley Elementary, and that's going to take place on April 1st.
On April 1st, the Kingsley School and the City of Dunwoody put in a grant application for $500,000 to Safe Route to Schools. We're yet to hear on the results of that grant application, but on April 1st, Kingsley School is going to have walking school buses in various routes bringing the children to school. And they'll be escorted on April 1st by the Dunwoody Police Department and Chief Krogan.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we're down to consent agenda.
I'll second.
That was a close tie. We'll give that to we'll give that to Councilman Wittgenstein as a second. Any short of had the motion, any discussion on this? See him. Yes, John.
Does Sharon have to read them?
Sharon, do you have to read them?
For the amounts of the city attorney, no.
Okay. All right. They're published. Great. So, seeing that there's no discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are you opposed? All right. So, we are moving to K4. Ready when you're ready, Sharon.
An ordinance of the City of Dunwood adopting amendments to the 2006 edition of the International Property Maintenance Code, regulating and governing the conditions and maintenance of all property, buildings, and structures by providing the standards for supplying utilities and facilities and other physical things and conditions essential to ensure that structures are safe, sanitary, and fit for occupation and use, and the condemnation of buildings and structures unfit for human occupancy and use in the demolition of such existing structures in the City of Dunwoody, providing for the issuance of permits and collection of fees therefore and for other purposes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Jennifer, if you could please give us a 411.
Certainly. This is a proposed amendment to the Property Maintenance Code. It is a second reading. First presentation was passed Monday in a work session. There were no changes directed at that meeting, so if you have any questions, I'm available.
Take any questions for Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer, I know it has to be Section 2, Section 302, Decimal 4, or insert a certain length of the grass.
Yes.
Versus, I keep questioning myself that do we have agricultural land within the city that's zoned agriculture?
We don't have any land that's zoned agriculturally. We do have some property that I know is zoned R-150. I can't think of whether we have any R-200 off the top of my head, but those are the larger lots that would allow for some sort of agricultural use, but not strictly an agricultural use.
The Downs and Chestnut House. Are we have any culture going on there anymore? Is there still horses or mules there?
No, horses are mules, but we do have some box gardens going on there. And that grass is certainly less than 10 inches.
And I guess my question is, I thought, this covers the entire city, and if all of a sudden all the neighbors and the citizens started growing the grass 10 inches high, I don't think it would be that exciting to me. And I'm just questioning whether. And I know last time we discussed where some of the other cities had higher standards than that, but that's about that high grass. That's pretty high. I don't know. I just want to know if there's any other discussion here on the council about the, just, does that seem satisfactory with everyone else? It seems awful high to me as a standard for the grass growth in the residential area.
Robert.
I'll say that I don't know that I could tell the difference at a distance between 8 and 10 inches, but that on general principle, I like the idea of us not intruding any more than we have to on people's individual rights. And if I can set a limit that's a little bit broader so that we're not issuing tickets, I'd rather do that. And, you know, there will be some folks who walk around with a ruler. You know, and I just as soon make that a little harder on them if they want to do that. So I'm okay with 8, but I'm okay with 10 too. The difference doesn't bother me, I guess.
Any other questions on this?
Yeah. Taking over just the surrounding jurisdictions, what they were, we went over with someone like 24.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
DeKalb County, 24 inches. Sandy Springs, 24 inches. Roswell, 18 inches. Chamblee, 12 inches. Doraville, 10 inches. Gwinnett County, 12 inches. Marietta, 24 inches. Smyrna, 8 inches. And Stone Mountain, 12 inches.
Okay. Yes, John.
Jennifer, last week when we were talking about this section, I asked about boarding houses.
Yes.
Can you give me an update as far as how this section might relate to boarding houses? Has it affected it at all?
Yeah. Our definition of boarding houses is contained within the zoning code. There's actually not a limit on the number of people in the definition of boarding houses. I believe what you may be thinking of is the definition of family, which is limited to no more than 4 unrelated people in a household.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Jennifer? Thank you. Jennifer?
Thank you.
Would you approve the ordinance to adopt Chapter 29?
Okay.
And then the property is going to be proposed for the rent case.
I'll second.
All right.
Robert Wittenstein seconds that. And any discussions?
Seeing if there's none.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right. K5, Sharon, please.
An ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 26, Stormwater Utilities, providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 26, Stormwater Utilities, as attached hereto and incorporated herein.
We got Richard up for questions, and I'll throw it to Demi. So you got a question or not?
I do, but I think Richard, a couple questions is the fee rates. You know, I think one of the key things here is that I didn't see a timeline on when the fee rates are set.
What the ordinance, what this ordinance, and the ordinance does not establish any fee rates at this time. What the ordinance states is that the mayor and council can adopt fees, I think just about any, and amend the fees at any time. And the timeline for us is we're going to be coming back next month at the work session with the proposed fee rates, which more than likely will be adopting what DeKalb County has currently on their books, because we won't necessarily have the justification to adjust it up or down. But we'll come with you for recommendations with the fee rates and with the budget for the stormwater utility, a budget amendment for that. So, but I think the ordinance has it in, I believe it's section 7, where it says stormwater service fee rates may be determined and modified from time to time by the mayor and city council. So generally we would do that on an annual basis or based on having to do some of the legalities, as we have to do a more of a more detailed assessment on that to be able to change, to establish a change in the fee rates.
My point would be this, it seems to me that there should be kind of a deadline for the mayor and the council to establish those rates every year, especially if we're going to continue to collect them the way we are on the tax bill, even though they're not a tax, they're a fee.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that we would need somewhere along the line to establish some time in people or something like that that may be the earliest that you establish the dates.
We are, I mean, because of the way we're proposing to collect them, we would be under the whatever the deadline for getting them on the bills, which is usually about the same time the tax digest is approved, which would be in that April-May timeframe. So there's an implicit, by the way we're proposing to collect them, there's an implicit deadline in there.
I would also recommend you should look at your fee schedule. That, yeah, yes, we don't increase off of what we are currently paying. This is,
I can say we're not going to propose any increase for this year. If any, we just want to make sure that there isn't, we need to still assess the data to be sure that we don't need to reduce them at all or not justified in reducing them.
My last point, and then I'll shut up, is that how is there, I did not see that in there, but are we allowed to invest this in a conservative manner, i.e. a money market fund or something, these funds, so they're not just sitting there?
I defer to the same answer on that question.
Okay. Good question, Councilman. These funds will be invested along with other funds of the city and the different funds that we have in line with the city's investment policies. So, yes, it can be invested in a number of things. Usually, investment policy would be safety, liquidity, and yield. So it would be very conservatively based.
Any other questions for, yes, John?
Warren, based on that, is it going into a separate fund and the interest then from those funds stay only for stormwater, or can the interest then be used for police services? Is it a separate?
Any money generated in revenue for the stormwater utility, any interest must remain within the stormwater fund and can be only expended within that fund.
Thank you.
Any other questions for John? Yes, Dean?
Just a comment. I would encourage you also not to raise those funds. I would also encourage you not to lower them because we do need to set up a reserve. We have no reserve. We can, in fact, have a catastrophic problem in the future if we have that reserve up.
Yes, good point. Thank you. Any other questions for Richard? Okay. The second, any further discussion on this? See that there's none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The ordinance passes. All right, Sharon, ready when you are. No rush. Except Denny wants to be home by 24 tonight, which starts at 9.
I hope you're taping it.
Mr. Mayor.
It's
a resolution establishing a Georgia Fund 1 account for hotel motel tax.
I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all might have. This is just simply establishing an account to be able to manage the 2% funds for the ones we've collected. And obviously, y'all have an item on your agenda tonight to do a short-term contract with the CAPS DBB. So this would be the funds collected, I think, prior to that contract would be put into those funds. Also, as we collect them, they can be put into this account and then if we can, you know, it's one day liquidity so that when they're due, we can take them out. So this is just an investment vehicle.
Okay. Questions? Yes, Dean.
We have collected now for December and January the monies that should have been collected, I guess, as of 2 days ago, were for the month of February. So how much do we have in the account now?
I don't know offhand. I hate to guess.
Yeah, actually, I was wanting you to think of about $60,000 a month, so it's fair to say we have roughly
$180,000. That would be fairly accurate.
Okay. And so the reserve, once it's fully loaded, February, December, January, February, March, we should have about $250,000 roughly.
Correct. That's about right.
Okay. Other questions for Warren on that? I just think it's a very smart idea that we maximize our return. We're going to conserve the rest of the money. Not sitting around, not
Okay, thank you, Warren. I'm going to approve it. Okay, Mr. Ross is motion for approval. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution carries. Motion carries for the resolution.
The resolution to approve and authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Dunwoody and DeKalb County for ad valorem tax billing and collection.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, this agreement is for the tax commissioner to do our billings and tax expense and remit it within 30 days of their connection. They finally agreed to our termination clause, which they were trying to get a 30-day, and of course, we decided that might be a little unreasonable, but we agreed to a 3-month window at a certain time.
And that was the only holding block on this?
That was the major speaking questions.
Okay, any questions for Brian on this?
Yeah,
Brian, can you go over the financial aspects of it, please?
Yeah, during the first year, we're going to pay $50,000. $25,000 of it will be paid over from the county directly to the tax commissioner. And thereafter, we'll pay $26,000 a year, $1,000 will be kept for the county, and $25,000 will go directly to the tax commissioner's pocketbook.
All right, Danny.
First of all, this is setup fee is a one-time setup.
One-time setup this year only.
The other one comes out to about 0.45% of our tax digest. A couple of questions I've got, Brian. Number one, late fees. I didn't see anywhere, how that would be handled in here. In times like this, I think we're going to have some late fees. Are they responsible for collecting late fees?
Yes, they are.
They are? Mm-hmm. They are? Okay, it might be in there. I did not see it, but I was scanning quickly. So they are going to handle that, and that is part of the set fee. There's not an additional fee for that.
That's correct.
Okay. On Section 284, the 30 days, transfer within 30 days, is that going to be a roll of 30 days, or is that going to be a monthly?
Well, if they stick to the actual language of the contract, it would be rolling, but my guess is they will not strictly interpret it.
Okay. I just tried to do some clarification on that. Do we have this budgeted cost of this?
More.
I'm sorry. Is this $50,000 this year budgeted? $50,000 for the tax commissioner's collection?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure.
We don't know at this time. We'll get back to you.
Yes, Danny.
Late fees. Early in our discussions back in November, December, I think we determined that the late fees, the county claims that those fees go to the county. Can you give us a little clarity on that?
It depends on the late fees, but there are fees specified by law that the county collects, because the county is the one ultimately responsible for doing the collection and putting the liens against. They are allowed to collect certain late fees. This has to do with your real property, and we get the interest on it, and that's per statute. Outside of that, where there isn't addressed by statute, this would have it where they would collect it and we would get it. So it really depends on what's addressed by statute.
So we only get the interest portion?
Only the interest portion on real property tax.
Any other questions for Brian?
Yes, Robert.
I note that there are some language in here that controls the arrangement between the county and the tax commissioner's office, rather than the relationship between us and the county. And now, in my firm, our lawyers are always real anxious to make sure that we don't include a third party in our agreements and that there's nothing in the agreement between me and the contractor that implies something that's out of our control. Does it bother us that there are some things in here that aren't strictly related to our agreement with the county?
Well, the way that the law is interpreted by DeKalb County, they state that in order for us to contract for the services of tax commission, we have to contract directly with the county. That's their interpretation.
seeing that they're doing it on behalf of the tax commissioner, and the tax commissioner, the way they get paid is directly from the county to the tax commissioner. It doesn't bother me tremendously,
okay.
But I see your point, but I think we can adopt it. But it would be the tax commissioner is a third-party beneficiary into this contract.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions? Yes,
I want to find that. Is this retroactive to January 1st? Or when is this going to start?
No, this will actually start when they actually do our billings. And the billings that they'll actually, it depends on what you're talking about. Most of the billings are on the tax digest that they send out, you know, at the end of the year. The car tax ad valorem, this is actually covers. And that one they have to collect on a monthly and remit on a monthly basis. So this does not actually retroactive back to January 1st, but that by under law, they have to collect and give to us anyway.
How are we going to collect them?
We're working on
it. We'll discuss that in negotiations with the county.
Any other questions for John?
Just to clarify, what taxes all include?
Yeah, but this tax includes this
and all this stuff.
The real property tax.
Okay, that's your house.
Your house and property.
Okay.
Personal property. That's your cars, business, furniture, whatnot.
Okay.
Public utilities. That's a stormwater utility. That would also be sanitation if it's done via the city. And that's really it. We don't have any heavy equipment.
Wait, one more. Street lights.
Street lights would be a public utility.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
All right, thank you, Brian.
I move we adopt the resolution.
All right. I had second on that.
Robert, make a motion. Any discussion?
Yes.
Danny?
Yeah.
Just be gone.
All right, any discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes.